This is The Green Room, your weekly dose of arts and culture from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Dan Wanchura.
But we saw the knife! The witch!
If the witch knew the true meaning of sacrifice, she might have interpreted the deep magic differently. That when a willing victim who has committed no treachery is killed in a traitor's stead, the stone table will crack, and even death itself would turn backwards.
That's a scene from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a film based off the story written by C.S. Lewis. Lewis was a Christian theologian who authored over 70 books, including a science fiction space trilogy and, of course, The Chronicles of Narnia.
We sent the news that you were dead. Peter and Edmund will have gone to war. We have to help them.
We will, dear one, but not alone. Climb on my back. We have far to go and little time to get there.
This weekend in Petoskey, the annual C.S. Lewis Festival will celebrate Lewis's imagination. And the speakers say it was nuanced. You know how some people say that Eskimos have 30 different words for snow because they live in the snow and have a nuanced understanding of it? Well, co-authors of a book about C.S. Lewis say they've found over 30 different types of imagination that Lewis uses in his writings. Mark Neal is co-author of that book, The Surprising Imagination of C.S. Lewis, and he'll be speaking in Petoskey this weekend. Neal says the nuanced approach to imagination helps us better understand reality.
One of them is called the satisfied imagination. This is a positive use of the imagination. And satisfied imagination helps us to try to understand how to re-enchant the familiar. That old saying, familiarity breeds contempt, we kind of lose sight of the mystery and wonder of things around us. And so this idea of the satisfied imagination helps to re-enchant what's around us already and help us to see the familiar in a new way. Another example of imagination that Lewis gives is what he calls the controlled imagination. And the controlled imagination is actually a negative use of the imagination. It's based on what Lewis calls wish fulfillment. And wish fulfillment, of course, is, you know, the daydreams and fantasies that we all have of wealth or power or renown, notoriety, whatever it might be. And so the controlled imagination is sort of a negative use. It's us projecting our desires onto the world so that they can do things for us.
I'm wondering if you could give me an example, Mark, of where do we see this evident in Lewis's writings?
That's a great question. He wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. It's a book about two devils. Okay, you've got a senior devil. His name is Screwtape, and you've got a junior devil, and his name is Wormwood. And so the book is a series of letters written by Screwtape to his nephew, encouraging his nephew and helping him to understand how to better tempt souls into hell. And so the whole point of this book is how do you get people not to do evil things, but how do you get them to do good things in twisted ways?
My dear Wormwood, you seem to be doing very little good at the present. The use of your patient's love to distract his mind from the enemy is, of course, obvious. But you reveal what poor use you are making of it when you say that the whole question of distraction and his wandering mind has become one of the chief subjects of his prayers. That means you have largely failed.
How is imagination a vital source of meaning?
Our imaginations are interesting things. Again, we can understand certain things with our reality, but we understand intuitively other things with our imagination. It's this idea that it helps us to see things that without it would be unseeable. It helps us to sympathize with other people. It helps us to see the story that we're a part of. Again, it's not just the ability to make things up, to be creative, to invent worlds and so forth. It helps us to understand the reality in which we live.
Can you give me an example, Mark, of what you mean by that? How does imagination help us do that?
If you're a person of faith, then you really only understand God through your imagination. God, is infinite, right? So he breaks his category of definition. The word definition means of the finite. We understand things by their limitations. We wrap words around them and so forth. So we can't actually understand God with our reason because he's completely outside of our experience. We have to use our imagination. That's why Jesus tells parables. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. We use metaphor, we use simile, ways that help our imaginations to grasp realities that we can't with our reason alone. This is especially true in like art and literature and so forth. If I want to understand anything more fully, I have to bring both my imagination and my reason to bear upon it, right?
That was author Mark Neal talking to me earlier this week. He's the co-author of the book, The Surprising Imagination of C.S. Lewis. Mark will be at this weekend's C.S. Lewis Festival in Petoskey. For more information on that event, check out our website, interlochenpublicradio.org. This is The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio. What would it be like to have soldiers kick down your door in the middle of the night and ship you and your sister off to a labor camp? Irene Miller is a Holocaust survivor who knows what it's like.
And this is when one night they knocked on the door, kicked in the door, and marched us to a long line of kettle cars.
And you were about 5 at that time.
Yes.
What do you remember that? What was that like?
Yes, I remember it very well because it so happens that at that night, my sister and I were alone. I remember it very well, being just horrified. What will happen without our parents? What would those soldiers do to us? And they told us to get our belongings in a few minutes, and we wrapped whatever we could in some sheets, I don't remember, and were dragging it a long way to the train station.
Irene has documented her story in the book Into No Man's Land. She'll be sharing her story tonight at the Denos Museum Center in Traverse City. If you want to hear my full interview with Irene, including the time she encountered a bear in Siberia, visit our website, interlochenpublicradio.org. This has been The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio. Peter Payette helped edit the show this week. I'm Dan Wanshura. Thanks for listening.